Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay, 4:30, let's call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming. Let's have the superintendent update and attendance report, please.
All right. Just a few things. Obviously, today was the last day of school. Everybody knows that. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. is the 8th grade promotion ceremony, so you'll all be there, hopefully. And then following that, we'll have a board meeting. It's scheduled for 10:30, but if promotion goes long, then we'll just have it afterwards. Should be very short, as it's just approving a couple of items. Summer camp now begins on Monday. Students will enjoy 3 weeks of camp fun. There'll be no summer camp on June 19th, as that is now a holiday. Sherry and I met with Plumas Lake, Wheatland High, probation, and the DA's office to discuss the South County SARB process. And we're progressing forward and should have something in place by next school year. And probably it'll be held here in our office. Of course, we had a full week of fun events. Thank you to the board for attending as many of these as you could and splitting them when there was conflicting times. Wheatland Owl, Lone Tree, Bear River, Rennie rallies were all great. Mudstock, other than one little broken finger, everything was good. Lone Tree's Color Run, that was my first experience, and I'm glad it was a little bit windy, so I didn't get too bad. And then Wheatland Owl had their water day today, and Peter said they were all shivering but loving it. It was cold this morning. We start the summer schedule next week with 4-10s being closed on Fridays, except for summer camp. Of course, I do have a meeting next Friday for 8 hours on insurance, so there you go. Lots of new hires, lots of new hire meetings. We had three today. You probably saw on the board agenda, there's quite a few on the consent agenda. Also getting offers done for next year, working on budgets, payroll, expenses, preschool enrollment, maintenance and grounds projects. So starting next week, when the transportation department, in between bus runs for summer camp and extended school year, they're going to be completing our annual bus waxing event. This is the reason our buses shine. Every time we see a bus go by, if it's that ugly yellow, we know it's not ours. It's the high school's. Did I say that out loud? So yeah, ours always look good, and they do a really good job on getting them all set for the next year. As for attendance, at the time of the agenda, we had 1,331 students, which was 49 more than we had last year, but 8 less than last month. And we had 122 students in the preschool program, which was 22 less than last year, but 1 more than last month. So total, we had 1,453, which is 27 more than last year at this time. And that's all I have for superintendent's report.
Okay, on to retirement recognition.
All right. So I think the way we're going to do this is we're going to talk a little bit about the retirees, and then we're going to take a break and have some cookies and sodas. And you guys want to pass out a bell to each one as I read about them?
Sure.
Okay. So let me just start with. We have 4 retirees here tonight. We have a lot more retirees, but only the 4 could make it tonight. And we're here to honor them. We'd like to offer our best wishes as you enter the retirement life from the Wheatland School District. All 4 have been long-time employees and have contributed so many positives to our district and to the students we have served over the years. They are all very excited about what their future holds and what they're going to explore life outside of driving to this place every day for employment for the last 30 some odd years. They will be missed, and we wish them well. We have a bell for each of you that we would like you to display proudly. Here are some specifics that I'd like to talk about on each retiree. So let's start with, where's Paula? Paula, when do you want to do Paula's bell? Come on up, Paula. I know.
Is there a certain one?
It has to be.
There's two bags.
Yeah, and there's two bags. So we're starting off with Paula Kesterson. Paula started in the district in 1989 as a part-time para, making $7.90 an hour. She did that for a few years and then moved into the library in 1992 at Bear River. She then moved to the district office in 1994 and was an administrative secretary, in which she did that until 2003 when she moved into the HR side and became the HR coordinator. She spent the remaining 20 years of her career as the HR person for our district and the district office. Put all this together, Paula has been employed with Wheatland School District for 33 and a half years. She is already ready for family time and a cruise with her sister. And there's no doubt there'll be multiple trips to Disneyland. We wish her well and want her to know how much we really already miss her. Okay, next we have Kelly. Kelly Beardsdorf. Who wants to do that? Okay. We gave you the tallest one, Kelly. So we have Kelly Beardsdorf. Kelly has been a speech teacher in the Wheatland School District since 2020. And that's when we took the speech programs back from the county. Prior to coming to work for us, she worked for Yuba County Office of Ed, but was placed at our sites for the majority of her work. Kelly was originally hired by the county in 1988, giving her 35 years of service to our students. She is an amazing speech teacher and a great person overall. She takes her job seriously and is often on site into the late hours of the evening. She will be missed, and we wish her well. But the good thing, Kelly, is you have no more driving in the snow to get to Lone Tree. Thank you very much.
Thank you. She needs to hurry up. She's got line dancing tonight.
Oh, okay. There you go. Laura High.
And if I knew what size shoes you were, I would have brought my blingy boots for you. 10. I have really big feet.
All right, we have Laura here. Laura has been a teacher for the Wheatland School District for 27 years, coming here with 5 years experience elsewhere before setting her roots here and making it a total of 32 years of teaching. Laura has worked in both the middle school at Bear River and in elementary school at Wheatland L. She has taught second grade, third grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. She has positively impacted over 800 students in her career as a teacher. Laura has also been part of the teacher negotiation team for a number of years, and her desire to make things better for staff has not gone unnoticed. She is also one of those teachers that puts her heart and soul into her classroom and her students. Laura's work ethic goes unparalleled, and she is also one that will help the new teachers whenever they need it. We're going to miss seeing you each day and hope you have a great time with those grandkids. And last but not least, Judy Finley. Judy was hired in 1984. Which puts her here for 39 years. She began her teaching career at Far West in 1984 and taught sixth grade until 2003. In 2003, she moved to fourth grade at Far West, and then in 2005, she moved to Lone Tree, where she continued to teach fourth grade for the next 20 years. She is the rock of Lone Tree and someone the district could always count on to do their very best, no matter how easy or how difficult her students were. She is tiny but mighty, and we're going to miss her tremendously. And she is one of the ones that almost was 40 years, but 39 years here.
Thank you.
So I do want to say that if you add up all the years that these four individuals had serviced our students, staff, and the community, it's 141 years of service. It's an amazing number of years for just four people. So thank you very much. We hope you all enjoy your retirement. We're going to take a 10-15 minute break so we can enjoy cookies, soda, and
conversation.
So break time.
Agenda. Any questions, comments, concerns about the consent agenda?
Nope.
Then can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda accepted. 5.1, public hearing for the 2022 LCAP report, Craig.
Okay, so as those of you that have been on the board know that we've had to do an annual LCAP report now for, I don't know, 6-7 years. This is the end of the three-year LCAP. So they'll probably change it again next year. But what you have to do is you have to put in goals and objectives and then what money you're tied to it. If you look through it, you'll see all that. So this was year three, which is pretty simple to go in there and say, what did we spend? What were we planning on spending? What's the difference? And then you have to talk about your local indicators, things that aren't covered by the, and that's a California thing because the feds in California seem to fight about education. And then a federal addendum. So those are all listed there. This has to come to you, well, to the public in one board meeting. And then it can't be approved till the next board meeting. The next board meeting could literally be an hour later. It'd have to be a separate board meeting, but that's what we're having the board meeting for tomorrow. So I'm happy to answer any questions about the LCAP report. It is one of those things that I just do not like. It's like many reports that you guys probably do in your businesses, they just sit on a shelf and nobody actually reads them, but at least we tie it to the budget. So that's why it's set up with the next one, which is the budget. So happy to answer questions about that. And then we'll do the budget presentation. And then we have the policies, and then we can go from there.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to 5.2 with the public hearing for the 2022-23 budget and the 2021-22 estimated actuals with budget revisions.
And I just want to go back and thank Peter publicly for helping with the LCAP this year. So he and I met with the county and went through all the processes. And the county went through it the other day and they called me up and they said, And I said, you do realize you've had it for a month and you're calling me 3 days before the board meeting, but they only had one change and it was just adding some language. So we've already had it approved by the county.
Okay.
But thank you, Peter, for that. All right, so we'll do the budget presentation. This is Nikki's favorite thing in the world.
This is my favorite.
All right. So why do we do a budget? We're legally required to adopt a budget by June 30th. The interesting thing about our school budgets is we have to, it's a shot in the dark because the state hasn't completed their budget process yet. We think this is what they're going to do, but we don't know for sure. So that's why you'll see the first interim, which will fix things that weren't right, and the second interim and so on. So we have till June 30th. We always try to do it at the beginning of the month. The budget is supposed to reflect the district missions, our priorities, and of course, the So the state update, this is based on the governor's main revise, so that's the best information we have right now. But the governor has proposed fully funding an 8.22% COLA. So that's a positive. Fully funding everything for 22-23 and no deferrals as of yet. You guys all know that California is sinking financially right now. They're billions of dollars behind. So we expected to get some hits. Well, they're going to hit the one-time funding, and the arts grant that was given to us are going to scoop that back. So those people that have already spent it, they're going to have to figure out how to augment that. We haven't spent much of ours, so we'll be okay with that. A lot of the one-time funding that was tied to COVID and all that, we're working diligently trying to spend that because my fear is the feds are going to try and scoop that back as well. So we're working on that. Transitional kindergarten, they stopped with a couple of things that they were proposing, which was adding classrooms and so on. But other than that, they're planning on fully funding transitional K, and the birth date is like April 2nd. So there's five by April 2nd. Between September 1st and April 2nd, they're going to TA. And then next year, it'll be June. So pretty much at that point, it's only if you were born in July or August, you won't get TA. And then they're continuing to fund the expanded learning opportunity. So that's good. So if we look at what do we have remaining in the COVID funds. So ESSER monies, we spend them all, which is good. ESSER 3, we still have $392,000, and that is earmarked right now, that and some of this learning money, for the three intervention teachers. We're putting one in Wheatland, now one in Lone Tree, and one in upper grade math. So that's what we'll fund that. But luckily, we spent all the rest of it, so the feds can't really change. And we put this in the budget, so hopefully they don't. So LCFF, for those of you who haven't been around, is the local control funding formula. It was put into place in 2012, I believe, and it was supposed to bring all of the decisions to the local boards instead of the state saying, here's some money and this is how you have to spend it. They just call those categories. Well, they still do it. They just don't call it that way. And now they're starting to put those back into place. So anyways, LCFF is the current funding. And you get a different amount per grade level. So the TK through third gets 1 hour, 4 through 6, 7 through 8, and high school is 4. And then 1890 was the final phase in to the target amounts. So what that meant was they were funding us low, and then we'll bring it up each year, and then they cycle out to 1890. Then there's supplemental and concentration grants, which students based on the free use lunch. We do not get any concentration grants because we don't have enough creative reduced. Marysville gets a ton. So it kind of offsets the system when you have one group getting a bunch more money than another.
What percentage do we have to be at? Do you think the apartment complexes will help us with that?
Probably not. I think we hover around 50.
Right.
Marysville hovers around 90.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, our mercy.
They actually qualified for, well,
before everybody was free lunch, right. They qualified for everybody to be free lunch there.
Okay.
Because they had something. The money is supposed to be targeted for those 20% of kids that meet that target. But what we found is districts are using that money to increase teacher salaries. And then that doesn't really do anything for these populations. So, but it does make them either get further away from us or catch up to us on salaries. So what is encroachment? It's when you're spending more than you're receiving. We always have encroachment in special education and transportation. Those are the two most expensive. They don't fund transportation very much, but special education is by far the most expensive thing to do in education. So special education, we bring in $923,000 and we spend $3.2 million. So you can see $2.3 million has to come from somewhere else. So it comes out of the general fund. They're supposed to be slowly moving that up, but they've been saying that for years, so I don't think it's going to happen. But we spend a lot of money on special education. So then we have what's called routine restricted maintenance. So you have to put 3% of your budget aside for maintenance projects. So we have expenditures of $672,000. We are required to spend $607,000. That came out when districts were letting their school buildings fall apart. Using that money for something else, so they did this. It's not easy to spend that amount of money, although it's getting more expensive to do that. Lottery money, $237 per student, attendance-wise. 170 of it is unrestricted, which means you can use it for anything. $67 of it is for instructional materials. So it can only be spent on so where do we get our money? 71% of it comes from LCFF. You can see the percentage. Can you see the percentage? Small font. 10% federal, 13% other state, and then 6% local. So if you look at our LCFF, it's going to go up by 6.4%. Last year we received $13.9 million. This year we're going to be $14.8 million. But federal is going from $4 million to $2 million, so it's dropping in half. Other state, $7.9 million to $2.7 million. So you see where they're getting us, right? Now part of that is COVID funding in there. And they're not doing COVID funding anymore, so it's kind of a misnomer looking at. Some of that is just one-time money that was included. And then other locals going down. So if you look at this based on what we know today, we're going to receive $8 million less this year than we received last year. And that's with an 8.22% goal. So what do we have expense-wise? We have stepping column increases. We added speech and OT. We have intervention staffing, or I talked about that already. Retirement savings. We have some new grants and funding, and we have COVID dollars that are remaining that we want to spend, and we have some of the PALS money left, and some of the grants over there. What do we pay for benefits? So these are actually incorrect. It's $14,000. This is where we really get hammered, is on the retirement benefits. We pay We pay 19.1% to STIRS for teachers, and we pay 25.37% for classified. So you can see that a $50,000 teacher doesn't cost you $50,000, it costs you $75,000. The categorical money, we have after school, lottery, mental health, and she says she needs that money. Routine restricted maintenance, we talked about. Now all the titles are federal things, and those typically go to the schools. The lovely $284,000 that all those crazy surveys that people don't like.
questions? Comments? Okay, we'll move on to 5.3, Board Policy Admin Resolution, Approval of Additional Article 6 Policy.
So this is the second read of those policies, and the last one we'll do till like August, September. So this is some of the 6,000s that you got at the last board meeting.
And there's one more 6,000s after this?
I think there's at least one
more. At least one more.
I had a question for the VP 6142.1, the sexual health. Do you know if that is all three schools, or are they starting that at Bear River? Like, when do they start talking about HIV and all that good stuff?
So that happens in the PE unit.
Okay.
It's not super in depth. It's more of that health and safety, like the hygiene, those types of things.
Yeah.
So there hasn't been a huge change in the health and development. They haven't adopted like a new plan, but it's not full on sex ed.
Okay. I just wasn't sure because it doesn't say on there, like what age?
Sixth grade, seven, eight.
Yeah, and it, you know that.
And it happens in their PE unit discussions, and it's kind of that basic health, you know, blood-borne pathogens, that type of stuff.
Okay, because it talks about, you know, like your sexuality and all that, so I just wasn't sure when it started.
Yeah, we don't have those kinds of conversations with kids in any of our classes, unless obviously a kid comes up and wants to talk to the counselor or something like that. That's one thing, but we don't have any adopted curriculum or any curriculum at all that we use for all that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And we don't plan on bringing any of that.
It would have to come through you and have to come through me first, and I don't see how that would happen in this town for sure. The pendulum has swung too far, and so we have to make sure that you know, we do what's best for our kids. I mean, it's silly to bury our heads in the ground that we're not going to see some of those things, but I don't think we have to be the ones talking about it. That really is a home child matter.
Yeah, I think sexual education is important.
Yeah.
Just in middle school, not elementary school.
Middle school, we do, you know, they do get the parts like, these are how your body is, these are the parts you have, these are the changes you're going to see in middle school, more so than the very in-depth conversations.
A lot of kids, though, times of change, not know if it's all the hormones and foods, and most of the kids are beyond that by the time, you know.
Oh, they know way more than what we
do. Well, I mean, no, but their bodies have already, a lot of them changed prior.
Exactly, they start for 3 weeks before. Yes.
It's insane. Craziness.
Just the work.
I grow all my own food.
Ready for that. Okay, any other questions, comments, concerns? Can I have a motion to accept 5.3, please?
I make a motion to adopt section 5.3.
And is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5.3 passes. Okay, on to board comments. We've made them all earlier, so is there anything else we can talk about?
I just want to thank you guys publicly for everything this week. I know how tired we are, and we just pop in and pop out, so being there all day long and prepping and all that. So,
last 2 months.
But your hard work hasn't been unnoticed, and so thank you for all that you do for our district and our kids. So it's
thank you for the support.
Thank you for inviting us and letting us attend all those fun things, too, because that's absolutely the fun part of being up here.
Yeah.
And you're a little dangerous, but job.
I know. I tried not to be. It was the wind. Hey, that was my second year.
You got to stay on now.
It's almost comical that when we look at what's happening right now in our schools, to think that the kids weren't in school for 2 years, because it's just like we just got right back on the bike and started riding.
It felt so good. You know, just being able to see the wrestling and the sports and having kids, it changes everything.
Yeah.
But we were
we're like, how did we do all this?
I know. You forget how tired it makes you because we did get spoiled. Yeah. Not having all those evening activities
that at least you don't have to stay up late for graduation. No graduation parties.
Or from our perspective, we said this 3 times. We appreciate that extra day that you guys negotiated into that contract. I can't tell you because my 38-year-old self used to struggle on a day like today. My 50-plus-year-old self would have never ever made it through the end of the day because literally you start at 7 in the morning, you do 2 rallies, we used to go straight to graduation, right. And we went straight to the graduation party, and we go home at 1 a.m. And it was just,
as a parent, you know,
17-hour
day,
it was
no break.
The dance parents
even at 38,
picked that up.
The dance parents and Sheridan's in Sheridan, so we helped them with the materials.
Is it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Which is great when the parents take it over because then we don't have to worry about this kid showed up and, you know, because they can do what they want.
Or they take off. There's just so many pieces that go to modern do that because we don't have anything over their head. So if they come and they really misbehave, it's kind of
dang. And then having the graduate or the promotion in the morning, I love that.
Yes. 7 that did not walk are still invited to the graduation party.
Oh, good.
And my other question is, the week that we have, like, the week we go longer than the high school, was there any issues with that?
The issue was graduation being Friday at 10:30 and 15 of our staff members have to be at graduation.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't understand high school graduation at 10 in the morning unless it's on a Saturday because that's really hard, like you said, for people who work and, you know.
It was a challenge.
The only thing to that I heard from some parents who have kids both graduating 8th grade and 12th was that family that came from out of town had to spend a lot of time or had to go and come back because one graduation was, you know, 1 week and then you had to wait a whole week before another graduation. And if you have family,
well, they shouldn't have split their kids up that far apart.
Yeah, do it like me, you know? Just have them right back to back.
Well, there is that. There might have some in between, too. It just happens, okay?
Anyway, I'm not ready.
That's the only thing that I heard. The morning thing was good, even though the high school had issues with theirs. But the fact that it was 2 different weekends was hard on families with, you know, family. Other than that, everybody loved the morning thing.
And see, we used to get the opposite, where families would complain because we had too many in the same time. So local families, Sutter was graduating the same time as Browns was graduating as Markham is. And so nobody could get to all the different graduations.
You'll never be able to make everybody happy.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
It's impossible.
And for the base that they did the flyover for Yuba City, I thought was awesome. And so I think we should try to incorporate that with our middle school since we have all the base kids. I think that would be really awesome. Why are you looking at me like that, Taylor?
It's tomorrow. We don't have
everybody. No, I didn't mean for this show.
I'm like, you're waiting a little late.
I don't even know any Japanese. But no, I mean later on, you know. So I just thought it was cool that Yuba City High School did that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't realize they did.
They did. It was their 100th year graduation at Yuba City High School, and they had the...
How many years are we at Bear Rivers?
Yeah.
Probably the T-13 or whatever.
Yeah.
From Beale.
Yes. Do a flyover and a little...
Can we have a U-2 flyover? Low.
But I think in future...
No, I think it would be cool just because...
How many years are we at Bear Rivers?
Just because there are kids, yeah.
How many years are we at Bear River now?
I think the high school, we want to do it before the high school.
And question, how many years of graduation for Bear River is this?
At the new school?
We don't count.
They're on their 100th. Come on, we need to know.
The 100th for Yuba City, that's why they knew that.
I mean, I went there 10 years ago, so you got more than that.
I was just going to say, I think Taylor was the second year. 15 or 16 at Bear River now, so it's probably
at the new school.
Taylor graduated.
She passed away when I was going to school there.
So
probably
25 years?
More than that.
No. Not at the new school.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bear River, period?
I went to school here.
It would probably be 20 years. This is probably our 20th.
Wow.
See?
You know, I don't think the school's been around. Well, maybe.
Yeah, no, we're getting close because this is, I think, my 15th.
When we did the lawsuit, it had been open for like 12 or 13 years. So, yeah, maybe it is.
Wasn't the first class 07 at the new school? Because I think Taylor was the second class, and she was 08.
My first year there late was 13.
only know Taylor's because whatever year it was, the year she was in school. So, 08.
So 19
years at the new school and then 50 years at the old one.
Yeah, right.
Under the big oak trees.
Gosh, oh yeah.
We should do something cool. If it is the 20th, it would be cool to showcase it. You know.
We might have to research that question.
Yeah. I'll have to look. I lose count.
Because Aunt Taylor had Debbie Shepik that one year.
Not me. Her Taylor.
No, my Taylor.
Oh, you too.
And my Taylor graduated in 2008.
Not me.
All right. Clearly remember that one.
Okay. If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn this meeting and go to closed session.
We actually don't have any.